You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, okay? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the day of Christ shall rise, glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Church, where can you have fun? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Brother Leland, as you're coming, I've always told you it's always dangerous to put a microphone in a pastor's hand because you never know. You're kind of taking your life into your own hands sometimes. But you're talking about being a little short-handed, and I've kind of learned a little bit about that over the years. And so this Sunday morning when I got to church, I started getting some phone calls. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and started getting some phone calls. And long story short, when church started, we have two keyboardists. We have three other line singers, we have two other musicians, and we have three sound technicians. And you know who was left to lead praise and worship when it was all? It was me, all by myself, okay? So I know about that being short-handed thing, amen. But you just give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, amen.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate Brother Doug. If I could just get him to empty those butt cans, he would have a full ministry. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. If you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, if you lift your hand, we'll see that you get a Bible. And let me say this while they're passing out the Bibles. If you do not have a Bible here with you, or if you just do not have a Bible, please accept this Bible as a gift from the rec room to you. We would like for you to have it. And then never leave home without it. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to be there. We're going to go to two places tonight. We live in such a time that people measure God's goodness by their success. And that's not the right way to do it according to God. Preachers in churches, if the crowd's good and offering's good, God is blessing. If the crowd's down and the offering's down, something's wrong. Let's try something else. Now, God may be blessing when the crowds are up, and He may not be. If Christians, if things are going good with them, God is blessing. If they're not, if they're failing, God's punishing them for something. But maybe He is, and maybe He isn't. Isaiah chapter 55 says, in verse 8, says this, "For my thoughts," and this is God speaking, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God sees things totally different. God's way sometimes is surely not our way. Now I want you to turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, the closer that Jesus Christ got to Calvary, the thinner the crowd got. As long as He was feeding them, boy, they showed up. But when He started preaching to them, the crowd get a little thin. Closer He got to the cross, not many people following Him there. Not going to go to that. I'm going to read about a man whose name was Saul. Saul is a perfect example of what I'm trying to say tonight, and I hope I can convey it, because most of the time I don't say things very clear. But Saul was at the top of his game religiously. Saul was a Pharisee. That means he had his doctorate in the Jewish religion. He was admired as a scholar. He was the example of a dedication to his religion. And Saul got saved. And all of a sudden, the man that they admired as a scholar, they begin to think's an idiot. The man who had the financial backing of the nation of Israel went broke. He doesn't have that anymore. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and Paul had some great days with God. Paul got revelations directly from Jesus Christ. In fact, he was out one time with a bunch of warrants to arrest Christians. And he was on his way to Damascus. And Jesus Christ met him in the road, knocked him down, and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He didn't say, "Why are you picking on my Christians?" He didn't say, "Why are you picking on my people?" He didn't say, "Why are you acting like this and trying to hurt folks?" He said, "What do you got against me?" And that's the question that every one of us is asked. And don't start telling me about the hypocrites in the church. And don't start telling me about somebody you knew that messed up. Because everybody in here has messed up. I can also tell you this, everybody in here has done stuff you said you'd never do. Okay. Well, I'd never do that. I remember when I was going into Big Spring Federal Prison that a bunch of savings and loan people that were serving time were upset with some of the others who were selling drugs. And I showed up over on Friday night, and they got this big debate going. And I'm not too quick, but I did notice that they were both serving time. Wasn't one of them on the outside. And some of them savings and loan people were serving more time than drug dealers. But one was blaming the other. And most of the time what we do, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we start arguing over who come the shortest. It don't make any difference. If you're to catch a plane out here, then if you're 5 minutes late or 55 minutes late, you missed the plane. If you're seconds late, you missed the plane. Doesn't make any difference how late you are. You don't get a refund on that for being shorter time than the next guy. But Paul turns his life around, and all of a sudden he's one of the greatest witnesses, probably the greatest Christian that in this Bible, maybe the greatest Christian the world has ever known. And all of a sudden, his life goes to shambles. They're trying to kill him. Everything is happening to Paul. But Paul, on the other hand, has been face to face with Jesus Christ. Paul has been shown things, revelation in the Bible that nobody else got to see. And I know this. I know this. If it's pretty easy to be proud of your spirituality. Sometimes people are proud of their convictions. They're proud of their lifestyle. I don't do this. I don't do that. I certainly wouldn't do that. Notice what Paul said here. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I want you to notice this sentence. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. God gave. Now, this is not the best gift. This is not the gift we think of when we think about God giving us something. We want the easy life. We don't want the thorn in the flesh. We don't want problems. We got enough problems. We sure don't want to get some from God. He said, I was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet. Well, wait a minute. I'm God's child. And God said, Satan, harass old Paul a little bit. Get his attention, son. Why? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Mama, you said this way, don't get too big for your britches. Sometimes we're prone to do that, spiritually. And he said, lest I be exalted above measure, lest I get too big for my britches, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And here's what Paul did. And he did the right thing. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times he went to God and said, would you remove this thorn in the flesh? And three times God said no. Some of you said, well, I prayed for this and God didn't answer my prayer. Does the word no mean anything to you? Is no an answer? Just because God doesn't say yes doesn't mean he didn't answer the prayer. Paul prays three times. God says no. Notice what he tells him. He said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. What he's saying is, Paul, you don't need what you're praying for. You don't need this. Grandma used to say, it's not what you get, it's what you want that does you good. You don't need this. He said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Most of us don't take pleasure in any of those things. We hate them. We wish we didn't have them. We wonder, God, why are you doing this to me? I can't believe you treat me this way. Let me tell you something. God knows what we need. And all of us in life have need to whip in at times. Now, whether we got one or not is two different things, but we know we need it. Let me tell you something about God. And we say God is good all the time God is good. Well, he is. God is good. if you've got a good job. But God is good if you just got fired. God is good if you get a raise at your job. God is good, though, when you get laid off. God is good if your child gets well. God is good if your child dies. God is good if you're full. God is good when you're hungry. God is good if you're in good health, and God is good if you've got cancer. God's good. And we whine, we complain. Why do we ignore the very one that gives us air to breathe? We are probably the most blessed nation we are on this earth. No other nation has got it as good. And we live in a nation where a person can mess his life up for half of it and then turn around and be a great success. We live where you can be convicted of all kind of wrong things and turn your life around, let God get a hold of your life and He can bless you. I repeat this, and I don't want to do it too often, but when I drove into this town 28 years ago, a drunk, flat broke, gone through another bad divorce, lost another good business. If somebody told me, Leland, you're getting ready to start the greatest years of your life, I'd laughed in their face. I was defeated. I was whipped. I didn't have any desire to start over. And you know what God did? Put me in a ministry, put me in a place I didn't want to go. There was only one other place that I didn't want to go teach a Bible class, and that was a nursing home. I couldn't think of any place I'd rather not go to than a prison other than a nursing home. In fact, before I came out here, I had gone broke one time paying attorneys to keep me out of prison. And then they want me to volunteer to go in. No, I don't want to go there. Now, I've never had the money that I used to have in these last 28 years. I've never had the automobiles that I used to have in these last 28 years. I have not had the clothes that I used to have. I've not had the jewelry I used to have. But I've had more joy and happiness because of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Because of that, I'm going to meet some people in heaven that say, Leland, I remember you. You told me about Jesus. There's guys that Lynn and I were talking about this. I got a call. This call came last night. Didn't get to talk to him till today. One of the guys in the Big Spring Federal Prison. I never will forget him because he did not fit the bill of the normal bankers and so forth. This guy had a beard and long hair and tattoos. And he walked in and he was telling Linda about his wife. And he said, she's going to be down here. He said, let me show you a picture of her. And he took out his billfold and he had five pictures of his Harley and one of his wife. When she came to the Loops meeting on Saturday afternoon, she had tattoos all over her. I thought she had varicose veins. She had so many of them. They'd given her 60 days to live. And she began to talk. And you know what? every tattoo disappeared. God, she'd been saved miraculously. And they called him Doc. I don't know why they called him Doc, because he did not look like an MD. I can tell you that. In fact, in Florida, he'd been the head of the biker group. That's why they'd sent him so far away to get him from all of his connections. But Doc had gotten saved. I spent probably 30 minutes on the phone with him this morning. And Doc is still teaching the Bible. Doc has not gone back. Doc works for a motorcycle place up at Wichita Falls. He still rides that Harley. We come in one time to our little old house, pulled up at the house, and on my front porch, and it's not very big, and on my front porch sat a Harley. I said, Doc's here. Doc's here. Hey. But we talked about things of God, not things of the old life. They're going to be, listen, God is good. When things go wrong, God is good. When things go right, God is good. God loved us enough that he sent his son to die for us, and then somebody wants to come around and complain and moan about God and accuse him of being unfair. And the fact that we get to breathe his air, his oxygen, we need to be thankful for. God will change things and make whether his ways are not our ways, and thank God they're not. Because I would not have solved one of my problems that I was having like God solved it. And you know what? That's why I wouldn't solve it anyhow. Only God could solve it. God's good if you can afford a new home, but God's good if you get evicted. God's good if you have a new car, but God's also good if you have to go to rec room and get a bicycle. Hey. God said he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Do you know sometime we need to hurt? Sometime we need to have trouble to remind us of Calvary, what Christ did for us, to remind us that he alone is the Prince of Peace. We're not having any peace in our life. Sometime we need to have conflicts to remind us that we got some enemies out there. Satan and our old flesh are two of the greatest. I remember one guy kept telling me out of Exeter County Jail, he said, Satan's caused me to do this. Satan caused me to do that. I asked him one day, I heard that for about 3 weeks, and I said, do you take though that's America? And he said, no, I don't. What's this got to do with our discussion? And I said, well, if you'd been taking Odessa, America, you'd have found out that Satan relocated to Fort Worth 2 weeks ago. He said, what? Well, see, Satan can't be everywhere all the time. He's not God. Now, he can have his little minions everywhere, but he can't. I said, Satan is gone. He relocated. He got tired of you. See? We want to blame somebody else. Right. The biggest enemy I've got in this life is named Leland Maples. Really is. He can mess me up quicker, faster, deeper. You know, there's no sunrise without darkness. There's no resurrection without death. There's no day without night. There's no healing unless you've been sick. There's no victories unless you've been in a battle. The reason so many of us don't have any victory in our lives, we're afraid to fight. You can't have victory if you don't fight. We just give in. Satan comes along and we cop a plea. Over and over and over. God spanks us and Sometimes we pay attention, sometimes we don't. God blesses us. Sometimes we pay attention, sometimes we don't. God gives us opportunity after opportunity. God's Holy Spirit deals with our heart. I could tell by the singing, by watching you sing, that this was not going to be the first time you'd heard this story of Jesus. Because you knew those words to "I'll fly away." Hey, you know those old songs, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." So it's not your first rodeo. It's not your first time. How many times? Can you count the times that He's tugged on your heart? And you said no? Can you count the times that His Holy Spirit has hovered over you and you knew that you should trust His Son as your Savior and you put it off? Oh, you have good intention. I'm going to one day. But you hadn't yet. And you don't have any guarantee for tomorrow, and I don't either. How many times have we been down this road and said no to the precious Son of God? One day, someday, every one of us will leave this earth. Where are you going? Where are you going? I talked to a guy this week. He lost his leg, come down to Law Library, Nectar County. And I said, "Son, how'd you lose your leg?" He's a young man. He said, "Guy shot it off, 12-gauge shotgun." And I said, "What would you have done if he'd have pointed it at your chest?" And he looked at me right now and he said, "He did." And he said, "I hit at the gun, and when I hit it, it hit my leg. He had it pointed at my chest." I said, "Suppose you didn't hit it quick enough. Where would you be this morning?" And he looked at me and grinned. He said, "I'd be in heaven." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Case closed. That's it. Christ come to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come start churches. God knows we need more of them. He didn't come start Bible classes, and we need more of them. He didn't come to start helps for people that need help. That's all the results of Jesus coming. What He came for was to get people to heaven. That's why He went to the cross, so you could go to heaven. He died for you, so you could go to heaven. I want you to bow your heads. With heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around. You say, "Leland, I'm not saved. If I were to die tonight, I would not go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's where you are tonight, would you just slip up your hand before we pray? "If I were to die tonight, I would not go to heaven." God bless you. I see your hand, sir. I see yours, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Real quick. "I would not go to heaven." Be honest with me now. Nobody's looking around. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Anyone else? Real quick before we pray. Anyone? I see your hand, hon. God bless you. Just put it back down. We're going to pray just a moment. You're also here. And you say, "Leland, I don't know where I'd go. I honestly and truly don't know. You need to let somebody show you how to go to heaven. And we have people that will do that tonight. Our Father, you've seen the hands. And I know this, that there'll always be some that just didn't get their hand up. But they know. And in a moment, Lord, we're going to give them the opportunity to settle this question of salvation and heaven and hell. To settle it this very night. That they no longer have to live in doubt. They no longer have to live in concern. They no longer have to worry about it. But tonight, they could know that they know that they know that they're going to heaven. Father, what a joy that is to know that. Father, that's such a thrill to know that and to know that I had nothing to do with it. And if I did, I probably wouldn't go. But because you did it all, I get to go. And because you did it all, everybody in here gets to go. If they'll trust you. Now, with your head still bowed and eyes still closed, I want you to stand at your feet. Brother Doug's going to sing. I want you to come on the very first verse and say, I trust Christ as my Savior. There'll be somebody here to talk with you. There'll be somebody here to counsel with you. Come on the very first verse.
I wandered
far away from God. Stand to your feet. Head's bowed, eyes closed.
From God. Now
come on.
I'm coming
right now. Do what God wants you to do. Come on.
The paths of sin.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.